Coming at you from the AO Studios, it's the Fade Route with D and Z. Here are your hosts, D and Z.
Powered by Riverside FM.
Coming at you live from the AO Studio.
AO.
It's the Fade Route with D and Z. I am D, and we've got a great show for you tonight. The NHL Stanley Cup Finals begin tomorrow. The Yanks get reminded how good they are. And Jess from Waking Up with CJ and Jess joins us on the In Route. But we begin today's show. We begin today's show with the New York Knicks. They fell to the Indiana Pacers on Saturday and lost Game 6 of the Eastern Conference Finals, ending their season. This was arguably the Knicks' best chance to reach the NBA Finals in 25 years. The Knicks also let Tom Thibodeau to go today, their head coach, which could be the start of a huge overhaul. So, Z, how can the Knicks get better next year?
Well, let's first do a little bit of an autopsy on the Knicks at the end of their run. They got exposed defensively. Cat in particular. Jalen Brunson looked like the ball stops here, and when he was off the court, everybody else played better. That's a problem. The depth was not deep enough, but we knew that. It's a Tibbs team, right? If it's, you know, if it's a Tibbs team, you're lucky if you're getting an 8-man rotation. You're lucky. Hart was he wasn't what you need to be. Yes, he gave you some tough rebounds. Yes, like there were some key assists, but ultimately you needed more offense from him. Bridges was not the guy that he needed to be. He's not the guy he was billed to be. And ultimately they ran up against a team that could exploit that. Rick Carlisle, Tyrese Halliburton, Pascal Siakam, and the rest of the Indiana Pacers know how to beat the Knicks. You stretch them out, you run them out of the gym. And when the time is right, you put your foot on their throat. Because the Pacers have the ability to impose their will. And they close. Unlike the Knicks, who blew that lead in Game 1, the Pacers don't relinquish those. They get them, they close. So, things need to be done, right? Things need to be done for the Knicks. Is it one big move? I don't know. The Giannis move, what's it going to take? I know Cat is probably a one and done. It sounds like it. Fans seem to think he's one and done as a Knick. Fans seem to want Bridges out with Cat in order to bring in Giannis. But you just traded 5 first round picks to get Mikal Bridges. Do you realize that that's depreciating? You're not going to get 5 back for him after this year. The Nets did you dirty. They fleeced your ass. They did. Because they could turn around. They could trade those 5 first round picks and get Giannis. They could. They could go nuts and trade 5 first round picks for Cooper Flagg. Like the Nets have your picks. Plain and simple. And you got a guy who is a decent player, not who you expected him to be. And yeah, the Knicks are closer than you think. Right? They did just get to Game 6 of the Eastern Conference Finals, so blowing it up, I think, is a rash decision. But I also think firing Tom Thibodeau was a rash decision. Like, there was a time, and we gotta think back a little bit and go to a different sport. Tom Coughlin and the Giants. They were prepared to run his ass out of town. Him and Eli. If Tom Coughlin did not change his style, right? Tom Coughlin was the very definition of Joe Hardass. If you're 5 minutes early, you're late. That's Tom Coughlin. And it rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. Michael Strahan, first and foremost. So Tom Coughlin had to put together that players' council. He had to bend. But the ownership let him bend. Right? They let him try to adapt. They let him try to change. Either Leon Rose and Jim Dolan know that this guy is who he is and he ain't changing, or they were just unwilling to see if he would bend. They were unwilling to see if he's willing to change. But the writing was on the wall, and ultimately they let Thibodeau go before his contract extension kicked in. So they still owe him that money. So they're going to pay him $30 million as a buyout, mind you. Michael Malone is out there. Jay Wright is out there. He's a sleeper candidate. I don't know about the Jay Wright thing. I'll cede my time to you on that one. Jeff Van Gundy. Do we stop with Jeff Van Gundy, please? Jeff Van Gundy was relevant to the Knicks 26 years ago. Yeah. Like, can we stop with Jeff Van Gundy? No offense to Jeff Van Gundy, but come on now. The Knicks, they made the move. They can do better. They can actually get a guy who's coached in the past 10 years. So the Knicks are looking for their mouthpiece. They think this move is the right move. Ultimately, I disagree, but we're going to see what Leon Rose has up his sleeve, and if that means jettisoning the two guys that they traded for just last offseason.
Yeah, I mean, well, for me, I'm going to start with the player situation. I don't really think there's a lot of options there. They don't have any draft picks. If you want to go get Giannis, you're going to have to get a third or a fourth team involved. And you're talking about giving up Towns and giving up Bridges. You're going to have to give up 2 to 3 guys. So I do think they should run it back and try to maybe add some pieces to the puzzle. And maybe the next coach they bring in will have more of a rotation and will play more guys and also give his guys the opportunity to rest, you know? So that's my part on that topic. In regards to the coaching situation, I'm with you. I don't really get it. This doesn't sound to me like this was a Leon Rose thing, right? Because Leon Rose used to be Tom Thibodeau's agent. I think Leon Rose is a big Tom Thibodeau guy. To me, this doesn't even sound like a general manager thing. This seems to me like an owner thing. And Z, it doesn't make a lot of sense. Go to my notes here. The Knicks won, I think, 17 playoff games the last 2 years.
Yeah.
In the last 25 years, they've only won 7. So he won more playoff games in the last 2 years than they had won in the last 25 years. Okay. Steve Kerr, the last 2 years, has only won 5 playoff games. The Minnesota Timberwolves head coach, this was his second time losing in the Western Conference Finals. They're not firing those guys. So unless there's a name or a person that you have in mind that you want to bring in, then otherwise, I don't get it. You know, I don't want to hear about Mike Malone. That's not going to work. I mean, Mike Malone's own players this past year in Denver were ready to kill him.
Right.
And they're happy that he's gone, it seems like, because they played very well and they got deep pretty far in the playoffs without him. So forget about that Mike Malone stuff. I don't get that. Frank Vogel's out there. I don't know if that's a valuable option.
Budenholzer,
but again, no success. Success in Milwaukee with Giannis. Terrible job coaching the Suns this past season. I don't think he's a candidate. Another guy, Eric Spoelstra, only had 1 playoff win the last 2 years. He still has a job, right? The Jay Wright thing is interesting because it would make sense to me if that's where their heads are at, right? They're like, okay, we got the Villanova kids. We'll go get the Villanova coach. Jay Wright, when he coached Villanova, said he was interested in coaching in Madison Square Garden and being, you know, in like the Knicks. He's been out of the game for a while. He's never coached in the pros. Best dressed man in the business, though. And he's young enough where he could coach. I just don't know if his coaching style transfers over to the NBA. I don't know. But another interesting one would be Rick Pitino, who has had a great two-year run with St. John's. And now he coached the Knicks at one point. He's Madison Square Garden, New York guy, fiery guy. You know, it's going to be gimmicky. Whoever it is, it's gimmicky. I've heard people talk about Jalen Brunson's father. That would be terrible. But I think whoever comes in is going to be gimmicky because they had a good coach. You're letting the good coach go for no reason, in my opinion. So I think the next coach will be gimmicky.
Step outside of your safe area and make a statement without saying much with FCK Clout Lifestyle Apparel. Embrace the colorful chaos and stay emotionally regulated in their graphic tees, hoodies, snapbacks, accessories, and more. Go to fckclout.com today and check out current season and past season merchandise for men and women. Get it while you can. That's fckclout.com. Check them out today. fckclout.com.
Moving on to the teams that are in the finals. The Oklahoma City Thunder will play the number one seed, Oklahoma City Thunder, will play the number four seed, Indiana Pacers, in the 2025 ratings nightmare for the NBA Finals. I mean, you've got, like, you know, two teams from small markets, and you got a one versus a four. Eesh. So we have a chance for the MVP and the scoring champ, SGA, to do something Kevin Durant, James Harden, Kendrick Perkins, and Russell Westbrook could not do, and that's win an NBA title for Oklahoma City. On the other side, we have Tyrese Halliburton trying to prove that not only is he not overrated, but he may be a top 10 player in the NBA right now. So, Z, which part do you think comes true at the end of this series?
I don't think we're in for a long series. As good as the Pacers were against the Knicks, they're facing a much better Oklahoma City Thunder team.
It's a machine.
Much better. With
some Knick players.
SGA, Hartenstein, Chet Holmgren. Yeah. You have big guys who stay down low. Oh my God. What a revolutionary concept. What an absolutely revolutionary concept. You have big guys who will play defense. And penetration is going to be difficult. Points in the paint are going to be a premium for the Pacers. And I don't think that... I just don't think the Thunder are going to let them jack up threes all day. I don't think that's how it's going to work. Like, I honestly think that this is going to be... I'll call a gentleman's sweep. I'll call it. I'll say Thunder in five. Now, the same way Siakam outshined Halliburton at moments, I think that Halliburton will be outshone again, but not by SGA. I mean, SGA is going to get his, but I think this is the Chet Holmgren series. I think this is where he shows up and shows why he was the number two pick in the draft. That's why he was the man that they took, and that's the guy that they're hanging their hat on, right? Like, they could have traded him for, like, Giannis. They could have put him in deals and sent him elsewhere to bring back bigger stars. And they didn't do that. Right? Clearly the Thunder believe in this core group. And I think they will be rewarded relatively quickly. everybody's going to be so hyped up and so hyper-focused on SGA versus Halliburton that everybody else is going to get that chance to shine. It's kind of the inverse, where everybody was so hyped up for Brunson and Halliburton, right? Everybody was just very hyped up for that, and it didn't deliver. And really nobody, like Cat had great offensive games, but then he looked completely lost on defense. Like Pascal Siakam, he's a solid player, right?
MVP of the Eastern Conference Finals, by the way.
And the look on Tyrese Halliburton's face when they announced Pascal Siakam's name says it all. What? Huh?
Two steps forward and two steps back.
Son of a bitch. God damn. But ultimately, the Pacers, I just don't think the Pacers are ready for the Thunder. And I think it is time for the Thunder to take the mantle and possibly really jump off a dynasty. Because they are young. They are talented.
Still got picks.
And they have all those fucking picks.
Still have picks.
They have everything you need to be a sustained force in this league. And, you win one when you're this young. The sky's the limit.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, so I'll talk briefly on the Pacers. I do think Halliburton's entering some rare air. In the last game, he had 21 points, 13 assists, and 6 rebounds, 0 turnovers. 0 turnovers. That's the number that's amazing about him, is that he doesn't turn over the basket. I don't know how much longer he can keep that going, but that is super impressive. But unfortunately, the Pacers are about to go up against a buzzsaw. Okay? So I want to talk about some teams with you, KZ. So we have the 1967 76ers, 79-17 when they were done with their season. We have the 72 Lakers, 81-15 when they were done with their season. Okay, now we get into rare air.
Yep.
We have the Chicago Bulls, the 97 Bulls, 84-17. Okay? Then we have the Golden State Warriors, the 2017 team, 84-16. Right? Now the best team, in my opinion, the 1996 Bulls, 87-13. Okay?
Yep.
The Thunder, if they win this series, let's say they have a sweep. They will be 82-17.
Jeez.
That's enough for one of the best teams in NBA history. And even if they lost just one game, they would still be 82-18. Still better than the 72 Lakers, better than the 67 76ers. Top three all time in record. That's the rare air that this team is about to enter. So, yes, I think the story will be SGA will become one of those rare players that won the MVP, won the scoring title, and then won the NBA title. The only thing that could stop them is getting out-coached, which Carlisle can do. I don't see him being able to out-coach all the talent they have. So I do agree with you. I think it'll be over in 5 games. I think they'll probably split at home, and then the Thunder will finish in Indiana.
Would it surprise you if Indiana takes game one?
No. No, because Rick is going to get his guys ready to play. There's no doubt that the Indiana Pacers will be ready to play. I just don't know if they're going to be able to keep up. I think if I was Rick, I'd have Siakam play SGA.
You want your best defensive player.
That's what I would do.
Agreed.
And what I want you to do with him is I want you to force him to come to the basket. We want him to come to the basket, and we want to collapse on him as he comes to the basket. Double him in the key. And the only other player that we're really worried about In my opinion, I'm just worried about Hardenstein getting the rebounds and the putbacks and the layups. I'll live with everybody else shooting. I'll live with all that. We showed in the last series that we have enough guards to play against their guards. So, you know, the other problem is Chet Holmgren. I don't have an answer for that. And the only thing I would say is let him get his. We're going to live and die with him. There's nobody on the Pacers that can guard him. They can't guard him beyond the foul line. They can't guard him in the paint. So we're going to secede that, I guess, and see where we end up. And that's really what I would say. But they're relentless. Their coach will come up with a plan. They'll execute it. All everybody will play. That's the best part of what Rick Carlisle does. And, you know, the coach on the Thunder, make him sweat. Make him work. Make him think about how we're going to, you know, make him worry. So,
well, that's the thing. The Thunder have had a while to process this. So, you know, as much as it is the rest versus rust thing, they've also been watching. So as much as Rick Carlisle can dissect a team, so too can the Thunder coaching staff. But we both have it 5 games. Who do you have for MVP? So I'm going with Chet Holmgren. But who do you have for MVP of the series?
SGA.
You're taking SGA? Or do you think it's just a popularity contest that they're going to want to anoint him?
No, I think Chet, if Rick decides to make Chet beat him, then Chet will win. But if he goes another route and tries to do what they did with Jalen Brunson, then I think SGA could win. He averages 30 points a game, so I don't know if, you know, they're gonna have to slow him down. You know,
good luck. Unless, pack a lunch. And,
right, so that's the whole thing. Is like, are you gonna be able to stop them? I don't know. If you're able to stop them, then yeah, Chet will get his. But if you let them do what they've been doing, then, well, what do you think?
I mean, it's going to be hard. Like, you know, like the way SGA plays and how talented he is, it's going to be very, very difficult for Pacers to keep up with him. Like, it was easier for them to keep up with the Knicks because the Knicks were all discombobulated and spread out. And it was ISO when Brunson had the ball.
Yep.
And the Thunder ain't doing ISO. Like, that's not going to be the case. But, you know, you gotta love those Canadians out there. SGA doing what he does best.
Avoid messy accidents. Get better stopping power with your brake pads. Callahan brake pads. You never know when you'll be driving in the road and there will be a truck tire that you need to avoid and save your family. Callahan Auto, we really care about what's under your hood.
Speaking of Canadians, the Stanley Cup starts, and stop me when this sounds familiar. The Florida Panthers are taking on the Edmonton Oilers. It should sound familiar because that was the same series we had last year. However, Edmonton and Connor McDavid don't think they're going to lose in 7 games this year. The alleged best player in the NHL is rested and ready for the challenge this year. Or so he says. What do you think?
They have to, right? I mean, they have to. They have two of, what, the top 5 players in the game? I think Drysdale and McDavid are 1 and 2 in points in the postseason. These guys score. These guys score. I mean, you're going to get... That's the thing, is you're going to get a better series than the Thunder against the Pacers, for sure.
Yeah, I hope so.
I mean, the thing is if you, who are you on? Do you want Tkachuk and Marchand, or do you want McDavid and Draisaitl?
Oh, I'm taking... pure talent-wise, it's McDavid and Draisaitl, 100%. Right. Like, and, for pure skill.
And, you know, McDavid says he learned from last year. The nerves, the jitters are out. He knows what to expect. He's ready for the challenge. And I'd like to believe him. I think he's the best player in the NHL. I think Draisaitl is a top 5 player. If not now, then when? Like we talked about on the show a couple weeks ago with our good friend from The Athletic. If it's not now, then when? It's just a matter of time. You can't hold them down forever. So yeah, I'm rolling with the Edmonton Oilers. They finally bring the cup back to Canada. And I think Florida's got the best coach, right? They got the best coach. They're going to be up to play. They've got the better goalie, you know. But what happens when, you know, you got two Titans meeting each other? And the best part is they just played each other last year, so it's a rematch. So you've already amped up for this, right? You're already angry that they beat you last time. And now you get to place them again. You get a second swing at the Giant, right? You get the second swing at the Bully. Now it happens when all things are even again. So, yeah, I'm going with them. Where are you going?
If not now, when? You're absolutely right. You bring in Skinner. You bring in Arvidsson. You bring in Evander Kane to fortify this team to go along with, you know, Draisaitl and Nugent Hopkins and McDavid. And, you know, you bring in a guy like Adam Henrique. You know, Corey Perry is still here. This team is ready. It's ready. Defensively, I don't know if the defense is ready for the war of attrition that the Panthers are going to lay on them. Because we know that the Panthers are going to grind these fucking people down. They're going to grind them down into fucking dust. It's a war of attrition. It is, man. Last year it was. It's not surprising at all. But it's going 7. Plain and simple. It's going 7. Strap in. It's going to be a good, dare I say, great series. But it just has to be Edmonton's year. Like, they fortified the team. They fortified the roster. They brought in, you know, players who can ignite the offense. So it's not just McDavid and Draisaitl, although McDavid and Draisaitl are phenomenal. The defense gives me pause because of the, you know, the ferocious forecheck of the Florida Panthers. And Skinner. Like, Skinner worries me. Like, Officer Bob is light years better than Stuart Skinner is. So
who's the guy the Oilers lost? Somebody got hurt. Heim?
Oh, Zach Hyman. Shaq Hyman.
Yeah.
So their third best player. You can argue that, you know, Zach Hyman is their third best offensive threat. But you have Evander Kane. You know, Arthur Staples said that he was the X factor. So, you know, well, let's ride with Arthur Staples on that one. I think that Evander Kane, this is the farthest Evander Kane's ever gotten. So this is his time to shine. And he didn't play the entire regular season. So he's fresh as a daisy. So, you know, I think that he's going to be a spark plug that they didn't have last year. He's going to be a guy that's going to be itching to go. Jeff Skinner is going to be itching to go. And it's going to be deeper. They're going to get tested. The Panthers are going to get tested like they weren't tested last year. And I think ultimately, McDavid and Draisaitl and the Oilers are going to break the Canada Cup curse. It ends this year.
All right. We'll see.
We will see.
For all you grill masters, green thumbers, DIY aficionados, and home repair heroes in the Richmond, Virginia area, if you're looking for personal service quality products and a convenient shopping experience, then look no farther than Thacker Ace Hardware in Colonial Heights. Owner Don Rackley and his team of local experts have everything you need to tackle every project around the house. I'm talking Benjamin Moore paint, Milwaukee and Craftsman power tools, plumbing, electric, hardware, the works. For you green thumbers, their nursery department is top notch, and I wouldn't be me if I didn't mention the grills. They have Weber, Blackstone, Big Green Egg, Traeger. I want one of everything. Give them a call today at 804-766-4223 and see how they can assist you. Or swing by 27 Dunlop Village in Colonial Heights. That's Thacker Ace Hardware, 804-766-4223. Or swing by 27 Dunlop Village in Colonial Heights. Thacker Ace is the place with the helpful hardware folks.
Well, not many people could watch the Yankees play the Dodgers on Friday because it was on Apple TV, but most people got the National game on Saturday, but it wasn't the game they were looking for. The Dodgers pinned the Yankees 18-2 on Saturday on their way to taking 2 of 3 from the defending AL champs in the weekend series. Big deal, little deal, no deal.
Well, from the standpoint of the Dodgers, absolutely no deal. None. They're just rolling along. Absolutely rolling along. With the myriad of injuries they have, the ineffectiveness of their bullpen, they're just running guys out there. They just DFA'd Chris Stratton. They brought in Jose Urania. They're probably going to cut Jose Urania loose when they're done with him. This is how their bullpen's operating. Like, we're just going to sign a veteran, run him out there for a day or two, and get rid of him. And on to the next one. And on to the next one. It seems to be their business model right now. And they, you know, Mookie Betts was out for a little bit because he had a fractured toe. So there's something in, there's something about that. But he's already back in the lineup. He's fine. The Dodgers don't fuck around, as we know. But I think we learned that from last year. That, you know, they're a patient team. They will pounce. But only when the time is right. They have no problem taking their walks. They have no problem putting you on the defensive. Now, the Yankees did get to Yamamoto. So, there's something to be said there. The Dodgers, this is just a, you know, a blip on the radar. But for the Yankees, you definitely need to be a little bit concerned because they just lost Weaver, right? Your rotation is super thin. You had to start Ryan Yarbrough. Ryan Yarbrough was a freaking opener for Tampa Bay. Right? He's giving you 6 solid innings, but he was not
82 miles an hour.
Right. You know, this is not.
Didn't get much on that one.
I was holding up, Eddie. Looking a little tired. Will Warren gave you an inning and a third on Saturday. The immortal Will Warren struck out 10 Rangers, looked like Cy Young. You know, against the Dodgers, he looked like Sayonara. If I can paraphrase Greg Nettles about Sparky Lyle. Atrocious. Absolutely atrocious.
Oh, shit.
That's not Shaquille O'Neal left. That baby's out of here. And then Max Fried, 6 runs on 8 hits over 5. I mean, he's due. He was 7-1
on
the year. Yeah.
Sounds like a National League outing for Mr. Freeze.
You know, like he was, but he was due. Like 7-0, he was having a great year. You know, like he's bound to have a bad start. That's the first one.
His ERA only went up like 0.5.
Right, but this tests the credulity of the rest of the rotation. They had to bring in Cookie Carrasco, and then they promptly got rid of Cookie Carrasco. So, you know, it's a big deal for the Yankees from the standpoint of that depth, that rotation depth, especially in a series when Rodon's not pitching. That's a problem. That's a major league problem. So it's something that they're going to need to fortify. And, you know, like a guy like Wade Miley is available. Yeah, like it's a buy low situation. But hey, buy low. Do what the Dodgers do. Get what you can out of them and get rid of them. There you go. Plain and simple. You know?
Yeah.
You gotta be creative here. Because if you're sticking with this, the next time you see these guys, it's gonna be even worse. So, you know.
Yeah, I mean, my whole thing is, I mean, I haven't been shy to be open and honest about what I think of the Yankees this year and what I think of the Dodgers this year. I think they're both headed to the World Series. The Dodgers are ready for the matchup. The Yankees are not. The Yankees do not have a closer. Like you said, their best pitcher is Max Fried. I've seen Max Fried. I know what Max Fried is. He's having a great season. And he's a wonderful player. Wonderful person.
Tips
great
well.
With kids.
Great with kids.
But, I mean, if you're going into the playoffs, with Fried as your ace and Weaver as your closer, and you don't have Stanton, you don't have Soto, you're not going to beat this Dodger team. You're not. There's nobody. There is nobody on the Yankees that can go through the Dodger lineup without an issue. And there's not a lot of people in Major League Baseball that can go through the Dodger lineup without an issue. But are you going to be able to hang with them? Are you going to be able to win an 8-5 game? Are you going to be able to win a 9-7 game? You know, that's what you're going to have to do. You're not going to be able to close these guys down. You're not. It's only a matter of time. It's only a matter of time. I don't know if you watch the game, but it comes down to the same thing. It's like, yes, I got by Betts. Yes, I got by Ohtani. Fuck, now I got to deal with Muncy. Or fuck, I have to deal with Hernandez now. You know, so, you know, you have to have a plan of attack. And they are going to have to make some kind of acquisition at the deadline. And that's the only way that they're going to be able to compete with the Yankees.
Completely. You know, the Dodgers, we talked about the war of attrition that you have to endure against the Florida Panthers. This lineup is a lineup of attrition. Where are the holes?
There aren't any.
Where are the holes?
Even fucking Tommy Edman. Tommy Edman's hitting bombs.
I mean,
Tommy Edman's getting on base. Can you get Tommy Edman out?
Right. The only guy I could say who you got a chance against is Michael Conforto. Like that's about the, you know, that's
yeah. Even who's their catcher is awesome.
Yeah, they just called up their top prospect rushing. Yeah, Dalton Rushing. And cuz
yeah, but who's the catcher? Will Smith. Will Smith.
Yeah,
the Men in Black.
Awesome. Yeah. And you know, they finally jettisoned Austin Barnes off this roster. Chris Taylor is gone. Like, they've undergone some changes. You know, and yeah, there are no holes here, and they're going to add. You know, they're going to add. That's the fucked up part, is that you know they're just going to get better. Like, that's the crazy bit. They're not going to live with Andy Páez as their starting center fielder. You know, they'll go get fucking Mike Trout. Right, the Kiki Hernandez. Like, come on now. Like,
he's playing very well since he's been back.
Yeah, like they'll go get Luis Robert. They'll go get, you know, whoever.
And that's a rumor to be trying to get him.
Yeah, they've been... No, don't doubt the Dodgers. You know, they want their guy, they're going to get him. But, yeah, like, the Yankee lineup pales in comparison, you know? And without Stanton, it's even worse. Because, yeah, like, you have Goldschmidt leading off. Grisham, Judge, Ben Rice, get Dominguez or Bellinger, whoever. Volpe, Wells. There's a massive drop off there. You know, Volpe's a 250 hitter. He's fine. You know, Wells, he's got good pop. He doesn't hit much for average, but who does these days? LeMahieu. You know, yeah, he went 4-for-5. He had a 4-hit game, but how long before those feet start barking? Like, this man, my man missed like 2 years because he couldn't stand up on his feet. That's a problem. That's a problem. And then they still don't have a third baseman because Cabrera, you know, has a compound fracture of his ankle. Is Jazz the guy? Because they're not moving LeMahieu. All right. We're right back to the same questions that we were asking last year. Is Jazz the guy to play third base? Like, I feel like we made a 360 with the Yankees. Except this year we don't have Stanton. And we don't have Cole. But they gotta do something. They absolutely gotta do something. Because this clearly is more of an indication that the American League is light years behind the National League. Because, yeah,
well,
you know, the Yankees beat the Mets 2 out of 3. The Mets they're about to take 2 from the Dodgers. So what does that really say? And then the Yankees are barely scraping by against the Guardians in an ALCS rematch. So.
Well, out west, the Colorado Rockies are really tearing it up. They actually won today.
Hey.
So they're 11-50 now. Yes, 11-50. So, Z, is it time? Is it time to sell the team, get relegated to AAA, or just turn the stadium into a parking lot?
Back up the truck. Back it up. Oh, my God.
Mr. Choke Pig, you make everything embarrassing.
I detest you. I detest you.
You're all garbage.
Back
all
up the
you.
Truck. Back it up. Oh, my God. If I heard correctly, there was roughly 5,000 people in attendance.
It looked like 10.
Yeah.
It looked like 10 people there.
Yeah. And apparently yesterday, they had a whopping 137 people.
But they've won two games in a row. If they win one tomorrow, that's called
a winning streak.
It has happened before.
It's a leg thing. Or a spiritual thing. Or a psychological thing.
Or a heart attack.
Oh, God almighty. But, yeah, this is, you know, they're
a real fucking burner. Yeah. They're minus 182 win differential.
Yeah.
Jeez.
They're a joke.
At least they win and lose at home and on the road is about the same. 6-22 and 5-28. So they're evenly bad.
So you can't use the Coors Field thing. You can't say Coors Field gives them a major home field advantage anymore. So it's just fucking pathetic. It's completely fucking pathetic. And like Richard Montfort, the owner, managing partner of the team, like, what are we doing here? Why are we doing this? It's an embarrassment. It's a fucking embarrassment. Can you name one major league, a real, honest to goodness major leaguer on the Colorado Rockies?
Chris Bryant.
He's on the IL. He's been on the IL since he signed the contract. What a joke. Jacob Stallings. That guy, he was good in Pittsburgh. What the hell happened to him? Tyro Estrada. He was good with the Giants. What the hell happened to him? Colorado is where people go to die now. Like, it's absolutely absurd.
Oh.
Absolutely, positively absurd. And what's even more absurd is that the Yankees lost a game to them. Like, that's insane to me. But for the amount or lack thereof of resources being put into this team by Montfort, Major League Baseball kind of needs to give him a little nudge, you know? Like, hey, look what the A's just, you know, look what the A's are doing. Like, they're going to go to Vegas. They're going to make a shit ton of money. Like, look at what the Twins are going to do. The Twins are going to sell for like $1 billion. Like, you can get that. You can do that. Like, the Twins are going to sell for a lot of money. Don't you want to make a lot of money? Like, yeah. Please just sell the team. Please. Pretty please with sugar on top. What I find crazy is that people are still going to Coors Field. To do what? To do what? I've been to Coors Field. It's a fine field. But you're not going there to watch a baseball game. You're going there for the rock ledge, and you're going there for the, you know, the playground.
Hot dogs?
Not even the hot dogs. Like, all right, you know, like, they're into green chili everything out there. Like, that's fine. Living there for a year, you just kind of get used to that. You want green chili on that? Sir, this is cereal. This is Cocoa Puffs. I don't want green chili on my Cocoa Puffs. Thank you. You sure about that? It gives it a nice little kick. No. But, yeah. Relegation. Relegation, Holmes. I would be all for that. You know? Bring up Albuquerque. They got me banging the fucking table. It's terrible. It's god awful. Bring up Albuquerque. Bring up Las Vegas. Bring up Tacoma. Bring up somebody. Somebody who have a fighting chance. Because this ain't it. This just ain't it. When last year's White Sox set the single season losing record, you thought, no way this would last. It wouldn't last a year. You figure it would be longer. But no, not only are the Rockies on pace to smash that record, They're on pace to be the worst team since 1899. No, not 1999. 1899. Pathetic. Absolutely pathetic. Get him out of here. Relegation. Bring us somebody else.
You can't help but just smile when you see a balloon. Popstarsballoons.com offers spectacular balloon decor for all of life's events, specializing in custom balloon creations and installations for private events, corporate and school functions, photo shoots, brand events, and fundraisers. Led by certified balloon artist, the Popstars Balloon team, shape balloons into custom works of art. Popstar Balloons provides full concept balloon design, build and installation services, as well as pre-assembled decor pieces available for pickup or delivery. Popstar Balloons is a woman-owned, small family business focused on providing professional balloon services using only high-quality, 100% biodegradable natural latex balloons made in the U.S. and Italy. They consistently prioritize the safest use and handling of balloons in a sustainable and responsible manner. Popstars Balloons is located in Westchester County, New York, but likes to party at events throughout New York City, Connecticut, Long Island, and New Jersey. Popstars Balloons can also accommodate balloon decor services for destination events. No event too big, no event too small, and their custom personalization service is the perfect touch. They also offer a full line of event decor options like backdrop, prop rentals, tablescapes, dessert table setups, custom signs, and they always deliver with a smile. Whether you're looking for gift balloons, classic decor, or large-scale design for a big impact, Popstars Balloons will create the perfect decor for your theme, vibe, and space. So if you have an idea in mind or need inspiration, Popstars Balloons decor will be the cutting edge and spectacular. Visit popstarballoons.com to pop your next event.
It's the In Route, where friends of the show get a special segment with us. Want to be part of the action? Want to be the newest member of the In Crowd? Well, you know what to do. Hit us up, faderoutemail@gmail.com, or slide in our DMs on IG at faderoutpodcast, or drop us a line on X at faderoutdnz, and you could be next.
Joining us on the In Route today, we have the best smile in radio. We've got Jess from the Waking Up with CJ and Jess show on The Wolf. Thanks for coming on today.
What's up, guys? Thanks for having me. I'm very excited to be here.
Boom.
What's up?
I think Alan is listening in, right?
Yeah, Alan the dog. He's staring at me. He's grilling me. He's like, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah. All right, well, we'll start you off with this. The Knicks, you know, they were beat by the Pacers in Game 6, the Eastern Conference Finals. But the city's been electric during this playoff run. The Knicks have been relevant for two consecutive years now. So can you talk about what a competitive Knicks team does for New York and for New York City?
I think when the Knicks are good, they are like the heartbeat of New York City. Like, we got the Yankees. That's awesome. Like, football... I don't even think we can talk about it. But when the Knicks are good, there's something about when they're playing good and it's like we're representing so well. If in the U.S., it's like everybody wants to be a Knicks fan when the Knicks are good. Look at how many celebrities were at the game. Kylie Jenner showing up to Game 6 in Indiana is freaking insane.
I was so jealous of Timothy Chalamet during that whole series. She's like obsessed with him. Like, she's like looking at him and
it grossed me out. Like, but I was like, if bringing the luck,
I can't believe it. And he's like all into the game, and she's like all into him. I'm like, are you serious right now?
It looks so weird. Tweeted out, they're like, that's how lovers talk, and I'm like, I don't care. I'm grossed out. They're making me feel uncomfortable, and I keep seeing them pop up on the back of the screen. But I do really think anytime the Knicks are good, it makes New York better. And I think I read somewhere that when the Knicks were winning, when they were coming into the playoff game, they were bringing in so much money to Manhattan. So much. I mean, you saw what was going on. It was crazy.
I mean, they're selling tickets when they're not even home. Like, people are paying $10 to sit in an empty arena and watch them play. people are lining up in the, on the street.
Yeah, what was that?
Next to Madison Square Garden.
Some weird-ass alleyway? What the fuck was that? What was that?
Where was that?
Yeah, I know exactly where it is. So, like, the block next to Madison Square Garden, they've closed down that block. That block isn't a through street anymore. So people gather on that street now, and they put the game up. It's like literally like one block away. I think it's like right next to it. Oh, yeah,
that's.
Yeah. I mean, listen, if you got that kind of time, that's great
to go
stand in
the middle of the city and watch the game with thousands of people, and also you're not fearing for your life. Good for you.
Yeah, and it's tight too. I mean, you saw in there. There's not a lot of room, like, you know, and you know, people got all hygiene issues in the city. I can't even get on the one train. I couldn't imagine standing over there watching.
Thankfully,
game
we
for,
didn't
like,
go to the finals because imagine now it's like hot outside. Imagine how nasty it would smell out there. It'd be gross.
Now, I mean, listen, I agree with you. I think New York is a hockey town. New York is definitely a baseball town. But there's something about when the Knicks are competitive. You know, it brings out the not the best in New Yorkers,
right.
But it brings out like that competitive fire. Like, you know, we're talking about the games, we're talking about the series, we're talking about basketball. It's just an exciting time. It's an electric time in the city.
And I kind of think it brings people together too, because I mean, all right, you can argue that the Nets are a New York team now, but the Knicks are the New York basketball team.
Oh, yeah.
You have the Yankees and the Giants, or you have the Yankees and the Mets, you have the Giants and the Jets. So like you have two teams that you're like fighting over, that you have fans fighting over, but New York can come together on one basketball team and it's the Knicks.
Yeah, it's the Knicks, absolutely. So there's been a lot of discussions on what the Knicks should do now since they lost and they just fired their coach today.
Yeah.
Some people would like to see the Knicks make a big trade, bring in a big star player. Other people would like to see them try to run back the same team with the same talent. Where do you stand?
I think I'm somewhere near running the same team back, but utilizing those guys on the bench more.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I think this last series with the Pacers, the biggest thing that always came to my mind was what, like, your coaches would tell you in high school. Like, offense sells tickets, defense wins games. Defense would have won us the series, if you're thinking about it. And the bench was smothering the Pacers on defense. They were doing so well. And I don't know what Thibodeau was thinking, like, taking them out. And, I mean, Cat seemed really, I don't know what, he was out of it. He was slow. He was out of it. He was zesty still. I don't know what was going on. But
I always think about this. Like, how would you describe the way Cat Williams plays basketball to a person that doesn't watch basketball? Like, how would you describe it, right? Like, Big Bird playing basketball, right?
Big Bird, yeah. Or, like, some sort of AI character. Because he's, like, somehow good, but also not. Like,
on
I don't
defense,
know
he's
how
a
to
cat
explain
chasing
it.
A laser pointer.
He's very awkward.
Yeah. That's it.
Very awkward.
Like, does he
he's
even play
ground
defense?
A lot too. I don't get that. He's 7 feet tall, 275 pounds, and the man's always on the floor. It's
always.
Like, who's knocking you down?
He's rivaling Joel Embiid for that.
He was. There was that one. Oh, yeah. Embiid's almost as bad. Almost. I think Embiid was worse last year than Cat was this year. But it was just when he fell, and I think it was the last game, Reggie Miller called him out. He's like, I think he's faking it. And part of me is like, yeah, screw you, Reggie Miller. I hate you. But
screw
also, I'm like,
you.
You're right.
Yeah. You know, I think you hit it on the head. I don't think he had a really good rotation.
Yeah.
You know, I really truly believe that before the series started, once the Pacers found out the Knicks were going to be in the Eastern Conference Finals, I think Rick Carlisle, who's the head coach of the Indiana Pacers, said, listen, guys, everybody on this team is going to play. I'm going to need all of you next round to do your part, to do your job. And he did. He played five. He had five different guards playing defense on Jalen Brunson.
Mm-hmm.
And you could tell that Tom Thibodeau, I don't know if he didn't trust his bench players, but there was a rotation that he stuck to. And it just, you know, Rick Carlisle was ready for it.
Yeah.
And I feel like there was only one game, and maybe it was just like a fall down game, but it was really game five where the Knicks played their best. And I felt like they threw something at the Pacers. They kind of ambushed the Pacers, and the Pacers really weren't ready for it. But maybe the Pacers were just setting them up to crush them in game six. I don't know. But I just feel like, you know, there was a method to the madness that the Pacers were doing, and Tom Thibodeau.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Just wasn't
with DeLone Wright and Landry Shamet. Like, it worked for one game, it did not work a second game. And then Kolick got buried. All the draft picks, both of their draft picks, nowhere to be seen. That's not a good look.
Yeah. It was bad. I don't know.
Yeah. And they don't have a lot of, you know, to get a guy like Giannis or to get any superstar, they're going to have to give up Towns, and they're probably going to have to give up Bridges. and they don't have draft picks. They're going to have to pay cash. Mm-hmm. I don't see how they could bring in a big star without including a third or fourth team in the trade. I think their best bet would be to run it back, maybe get a couple of pieces here, but whoever the next coach is, he's got to have a better rotation. He's got to rest his players, and you got to come up with better schemes when things aren't working, which I don't
rest
feel like.
Rest is big, too. I think you rest hit the nail huge. There. Yeah, that was rest huge. Is huge. Our guys were gassed.
Yeah, and he really just wasn't a, you know, he has a style of play, which it works to a certain extent, but this was a season where you really had a chance to walk into the finals. I mean, the Pacers took out the best team. Dame Lillard was hurt, so the Milwaukee didn't go anywhere. Jimmy Butler blew up the Heat. Boston, you just beat them, and you hurt their best player got hurt, so they were gone. Paul George and Embiid and the 76ers never came together. This was it. This was it. And they didn't come through. So I don't know. Hopefully it's not another 25 years, but I don't know, you know, when they get back into it.
Oh, no. That would be awful. It was another 25 years. I do think they have a good squad. I do think you're right. If we want to get a big name, we're going to have to trade Kat and Bridges.
Yeah.
And like, I'm so upset because Bridges at some points made me so happy. But towards the end there, it was like he was so scared to play. And I think a lot of them were. They were all in their head so bad.
Yeah. And he's, you know, Z and I talked about this on the show a couple of weeks ago, but when you look at what they gave up to get him, he's not everything you needed him to be. And he's a good player. Don't get me wrong. He's good, but he's not a deadly shooter from three. He's a good shooter from inside the key. You know, you need a shooter. You need a guy that's going to knock down that three. Like, I hate to say this name, but like a J.J. Redick or like a, you know, a Reggie Miller type player who when he squares up for three, your confidence going down and you're not like, gee, I don't know. I mean, it's 50-50 here. Mm-hmm. Or actually 30-70.
Yeah.
You know, so I think they got to let the work cut out for them. But an interesting topic. I hate to kick a man when he's down, but the Knicks head coach, Tom Thibodeau, has a unique coaching style. And he's a unique hairstyle, too. I mean, not a lot of people can pull off the comb-over with a receding hairline.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you approach this? Like, how long do you have to be in a relationship, or a friendship, for that matter, before you say something to someone about their hairstyle? Like, you know, if your hairline's receding, you're losing your hair, like, you know, I have a good friend. He's got kind of like the bird's nest going in the back. And I was honest with him. Like, dude, you have to figure it out. Like, in the
do
next
something.
2 years, you can't do it. Like, you know, birds are going to start going in there. I understand you have a lot in the front and a lot in the side. But we all know what's on the back end, brother.
Yeah.
So you got to. So how does that work, Jess? How do you
know, I'm really surprised that Josh Hart hadn't taken upon himself to say something to him.
Yeah.
Or, you know, because, you know, the guys go to Turkey now to get the hair transplant.
Oh, yeah.
He could afford it.
Who actually did that. Went to Turkey and it looks great. His hair looks great.
I want to put money on it. I bet you now, you know, fired from the Knicks, he's going to fly out to Turkey, go get his hair done. He's going to come back a new man.
Come back styling and profiling Ric Flair in it.
Before we started talking, I was watching a video. It was like everyone was doing all these tribute videos now that he's fired. Like he died or something, which is crazy. But one of the videos was like he was saying how he's never been married. He has no kids. He
Makes
was
sense.
Engaged to a woman in his 30s. He called off the wedding 6 days before because he's obsessed. He wanted to make sure that he was all in for basketball. I'm like, that's crazy. And he had a full head of hair back then. So I don't know if it was the stress of the game, maybe the single man life. I don't know.
Because, like, you know, friends look out for friends, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, if your friend's going out and she's wearing something, you're like, nah, maybe she should change.
That
don't
look
feeling
right.
That. You got to be honest with your friend. You got to be honest with your spouse or your lover.
That's why he needs someone like in his life. He needs a woman in his life.
He
That's how you know
somebody.
He doesn't
you
have
one. Careful,
he
though, because look at the Belichick situation with his girl, you know? And she's a girl. She's not, I mean, that's young, dude. But, you know.
That is the wildest age gap I've ever seen in my whole entire life.
Coach, you have to put your plastic bag back on.
I don't know how true that is.
Like, it's almost game time. You have to put your trash bag on.
They say she's, like, controlling all of his money and stuff.
Well, I heard she's banned from the football part of campus now.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know.
She's at UNC, right?
Yeah. So I think she was attracting some attention and, you know, clearly.
From
the football team.
Yeah.
From the frat guys?
Look at her. They're in her age group.
He's competing with his own players. That's nuts.
Yeah.
I think she did get a
If you're her father, are you like, all right, what's going on here? Like, you had to have some kind of conversation with him or with her. It's like, what are we doing here? Like, I'm not just going to let this just fly, right? On. I mean, you can't.
Unless her dad's like a huge football fan.
I'm dating your daughter.
Get tickets.
I'm dating your daughter.
We're moving on.
That's it.
We're on to next week.
Oh, God almighty. I kind of want to see that. I want to see that for Coach Tibbs. I want to see him find it. You know what? He needs like a reality show.
Find a woman.
Nick's he needs a reality dancer. Show. Let's you know, find Tibbs some love.
He needs a reality show wife. He needs one of the real housewives.
Put him on 90 Day Fiancé. Like something.
Oh my God. The woman from Turkey. The lady who did his hair plugs.
He doesn't really.
He falls in love with the woman who does that. And then he coaches a Turkish special basketball team.
Hey, redemption. Yes. There's redemption in that.
And then
Rick
Pitino
did it.
Yeah.
Rick Pitino went to Greece, came back.
See?
Maybe that's what it takes.
Get him over there. He can coach someone, mold them to be the perfect Nick player to bring us back.
I think we're onto something here. I think we're really onto something here. But,
Tibbs, if you need any advice, call us.
Our phone lines are open. Our phone lines are open. goodness gracious. But, you know, now that the Knicks season is over, New Yorkers are turning their attention to baseball, and eventually, in less than 100 days, they're going to turn their attention to the Giants and the Jets, unfortunately. So, between sports, gossip, politics, headlines, there's always something to talk about in the New York market. So, can you discuss the advantages of being on a radio show in a big market?
Yeah, you know, it's awesome, and especially because we're not, like, directly in the city, but we still have a lot of passionate sports fans up here, and I'm lucky enough to work with someone who is first of all, he's a Cowboys fan, which is hilarious. So we have a nice back and forth there. But, you know, having that, like, competition, talking about Yankee, like, Subway Series, all that stuff, and just, I don't know, there's always a topic of discussion. You're right, whether it's on the field, off the field, the drama behind it, the pop culture. I love the pop culture stuff of sports. If I'm being honest, like, I grew up playing sports. I love watching it. My dad and my brother, like, really molded me into that. But the pop culture side of it, who's dating who, who's pissed off at another player, like, I love that. I love it so much. And here in New York, there's always something. I remember when I was in college and the Yankees were in the World Series in 2009 and A-Rod was dating Kate Hudson. That was huge. I changed my Facebook picture to Kate Hudson behind home plate. I was like, this is it. We're winning the World Series. And
that was
we did.
So cool. That was so cool because her like father figure was Kurt Russell.
Yeah.
And you're like hanging out with Kurt Russell and Kate Hudson and the, come on, man. Like,
it's awesome. It's great being a New York fan for just the pure entertainment of it all.
I was very jealous of him there.
Right?
And they dated Cameron Diaz for a while. He had a nice little run he was going on.
Derek Jeter. I love going through. My favorite like topic of discussion when it came to baseball and Derek Jeter was the gift basket that he allegedly would give girls and he would hook up with. And I said for years, I would tweet it out. You can go back on my Twitter account and just like type in at Miss JBo Derek Jeter. There's like 17 tweets about me being like, I just want a gift basket. I don't even have to come for the night. You could just send me the gift basket.
I can leave right after. I don't have to stay.
We don't even have to do anything. You
I'll have
just
a drink.
Mail it to me.
I'll have a drink. I don't care. Oh, man.
He had quite the lineup,
every
too.
Position.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
Mariah Carey.
Jessica Biel, Mariah Carey, Jordan Brewster.
Yep.
He also was at Cameron
Kelly.
Diaz for a while.
Oh, yeah. Minka Kelly, I remember that.
Jessica Alba.
Did he date all the Jessicas? He needed a trifecta. He needed me. Damn.
Jessica was his guest. That was his name.
I missed
that was
out.
It, man.
Missed out on my shot.
He had, there was a... So I worked for the Yankees for four seasons.
Oh, nice.
And his birthday is in like June.
Yeah.
It's coming up, I think. June or July. Mm-hmm. But whenever his birthday was, there was a joke around the stadium of like, who's going to the party? Who's going to the party? You know, trying to get somebody to tell me where the party was.
Just tell me where. 4040 Club, probably, right? I mean,
but, you know, he was so good at like the rules of like putting your phone away before you came in. And like he was ahead of the times with that.
What did you do when you worked for the Yankees?
So I worked in the money room, actually. Yes. So I counted all the money that came in from concession sales and
Sick.
From some merch.
Okay, wait, I do have a question for you because I asked this on my show the other day. Do you think there should be, since you dealt with the money, this would definitely affect this part of the game. Do you think there should be a drink limit at sporting events when you get into the stadium?
a drink limit?
Like, and my idea, my whole point.
And why do you feel like there should be a drink limit?
Because, honestly, I did when I was watching, like, the Knicks stuff and, like, after the game, that Pacers fan that got decked with the garbage bags. And then there was a local concert that happened. Everyone was complaining about how drunk people were. And I was like, you know, maybe to calm it down, when you get your ticket, you also get a drink ticket. And you get, like, two punches every hour. So you get two drinks every hour. Because they do it on, like, reality shows. They do it on, like, The Bachelor in Paradise. So, like, you're not allowed to drink more than two drinks because something happened off screen where people got a little too crazy and they had to have a drink limit. So now I was wondering if sporting events, how much would that affect the money room if they did that?
Well, the prices have gone up tremendously since I've been there. And you also, most of the things are served in, like, a 22 now.
Right.
Also. I've actually seen some wild stuff happen. People definitely served over their limit. I don't think it's a bad idea. They do make most of their sales in alcohol, obviously, right. But their biggest markups are in, like, it's like in popcorn.
Ooh.
I could see that as being something that could be implemented because it does get dangerous. Like, I would never take my son to, like, a Yankee
Yeah.
I would probably take my son to a Citi Field game. You know, I'd feel that it's much more relaxed and much more relaxed atmosphere.
Definitely more of a family environment at Citi Field.
Hudson nice. Valley Renegades, like AAA, is more our speed.
Yeah.
You know, because I just feel like it's fun. Like, it's fun. We're
it's
all
chill.
Here just to have fun. There's nothing, like,
you don't need to get drunk to enjoy
series. Right. It's not a Red Sox series. It's not, like, you know, a Subway series. It's a baseball game.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm here. I'm here to watch the baseball game. But yeah, I mean, from the things that I've seen, even the, I remember the old Giants Stadium. The old Giants Stadium had, like, a courtroom in the basement. Like, I'm not kidding. There was, like, a courtroom in the basement. You'd come in, there's a judge there and everything over whatever you did. And people would be jacked up. Somehow people would get knives into the stadium and stab people in the bathroom. It was awful, the Meadowlands.
That's crazy.
Old Meadowlands was dangerous to the point where they stopped. They didn't vend beer. They didn't vend beer in the stands. You had to go to an actual, like, concession stand to get beer. The same thing in the Garden. They don't vend. I'm pretty sure they don't vend it. They won't bring it down into the seats because it gets crazy.
I went to a Knick game 2 years ago. I went to a playoff game with my brother. He got tickets and they played the Heat and they lost, which was awful. But they didn't sell it. They weren't selling it in the stands, but we were all the way up in the nosebleeds and it was the last bar all the way on top. And I was like, I'm not risking my life to go get a beer right now.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure you've been to the Barclay Center.
Yeah.
I would never get a beer in the upper deck in the Barclay Center.
No
you
shot.
Could fall down and die.
That's scary.
You literally could tumble all the way down the stairs and then over the railing and die.
Yep.
Because
I'm not even getting up to go to the bathroom in the Barclay Center. Like, I'm sitting, I'm good.
That whole stadium feels steep.
Take that.
Is that just me?
There. Take your life in your hands. No, it's very.
I went
upper
for
deck is very
a few years.
Steep.
Like,
very steep.
Shit. Maybe like 10 years ago, I went for the NCAA tournament when they had regionals there.
Mm.
And it was just like so steep. Yeah. It's almost as bad as what the Continental Airlines Arena used to be in Jersey, like the Izod Center. That is so steep.
Mm-hmm.
I was never in the upper deck for that one. I was,
it was
only
bad.
On the
level like it was very steep.
Yeah.
Very steep. Catch part two of our interview with Jess later this week.
Your favorite podcast has its own merch line now. Go to the Fade store with DNZ.com today and check out our releases in apparel, accessories, drinkware, and more. Ever wanted an alleged superstar t-shirt? We got those. You want some yoga pants? We got those too. And we're not done yet. We have a lot of exciting collaborations and new products on the way. But check out what we have now at the Fade Store with DNZ.com. That's the Fade Store with DNZ.com. Who is the best of the worst this week in sports? The Fade Store presents the Alleged Superstar of the Week Award.
All right, boys and girls, you know what time it is. It's time for the Alleged Superstar of the Week. You know how it goes. We put up a poll on our X account at FadeRouteDNZ, on our Instagram poll at FadeRoutePodcast, and on our Spotify page, and you vote. and you vote, and you vote, and you vote. And the winner of said vote gets a shout out on this here show and takes home the coveted ass trophy. And do you know who took home the coveted ass trophy last week, D?
I don't.
That would be Stefan Diggs. Mm. You know, the pink powder. Eh, not a good look. Not a good look. Possibly going to get his ass run out of New England. He's got some splaining to do. But that was last week. This is this week. Who are your nominees for Alleged Superstar of the Week, D?
All right, so first up, I've got Arizona Diamondbacks pitcher Corbin Burnes. Having some pain in his elbow, some inflammation in his elbow. My man is in his first year of a six-year, $210 million contract, and he's already got a hurt elbow. Corbin Burnes, you are my alleged superstar of the week. Number two, I've got the New York Knicks. Yeah, I do. They are my alleged superstar this week because they burned down a perfect opportunity to get to the finals in a year where the Pacers took out the number one seed. Paul George and Joel Embiid never materialized. Dame Lillard got hurt on the Bucks. You had Boston on the ropes, and then they lost their best player. And Jimmy Butler blew up the Heat. You could not get your shit together and beat the Indiana Pacers. All they had to do was win Game 6, and this game is going definitely back to Madison Square Garden, where they win. And then they also blew Game 1. New York Knicks, you are my alleged superstar of the week. And number three, I've got Angel Reese. Angel Reese leads the WNBA in rebounds. There's only one problem, Z. 30% of her rebounds come from her own fucking misses. She misses layups and gets the ball back and then goes back up. You can't be tooting your chest out when you're leading the league in rebounds and 30% of your rebounds are coming from your misses. Hit layups, lady. Hit layups. Angel Reese, you are my alleged superstar of the week. What do you got, Z?
Is this like a Ricky Davis situation?
35% of her rebounds are from her misses.
Bruh. Oh my god, that's awful. Brick City. Brick friggin' Jeez. City. Jesus Christ. What a joke. But yeah, I mean, you can't go wrong with those. You really can't go wrong with them. Piggybacking off what we were talking about before, I'm going to talk about the Colorado Rockies and the Miami Marlins. Oh, really lighting it on fire. Really getting that attendance up there. 137 people in attendance for your Monday affair. Congratulations, I guess. You know, I guess they got comped the front row seats. So good for you guys. You know, you have a lot of spectators who are dressed up like empty seats. And yeah, like the product says it all for both teams, really. Drizzling shits all the way around. Rockies and Marlins, you are my alleged superstar of the week. Number two, Inter Milan. Champions Ooh. League final against PSG.
Well, no doubt.
5-0. The worst loss in Champions League history. Ever. AC Milan supporters had a mock funeral for Inter. That was funny. I'll give them that. That was funny. That goes a long way. And you couldn't have been more on the nose, because that was a fucking corpse game. Like, did anybody with a pulse actually show up for Inter? The scoreboard says no. Inter Milan, you are my alleged superstar of the week. And then number three, George Springer. What the fuck are you doing? Pulling into third base. Okay, no problem. Ready to, but you got to do your little dance. You got to do your little hop. And upon further review, you hopped off the base and got tagged out. You schmuck. Can we act like professionals and not have to do a hop and a dance at every base? How many more times does this have to happen, where a player disengages himself from the base and gets tagged out because he's doing a dance? This isn't Banana Ball. You want Banana Ball? Go play Banana Ball. Troy Gloss just pinch hit at Banana Ball. Or Johnny Damon's been at Banana Ball. If you want to be a joke, go over there. If you want to be a serious baseball player, stop dancing at the bases. George Springer, you are my alleged superstar of the week. I think we said our piece. Go to our X account at FadeRouteDNZ. Go to our Instagram poll at FadeRoutePodcast. Vote on our Spotify. Vote and vote and vote. And for our nominees.
You're better than that. Just do better. Just do better.
This has been The Fade Route with DNZ. Thanks for tuning in tonight. Catch our podcast on Wednesday nights on Spotify, iTunes, iHeartRadio, or wherever you listen to your podcast. So until next time, stay fade, everyone.
Time for us to run the go route. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to this episode of our podcast. If you liked what you heard and you want to hear more, be sure to like and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. Leave us a review, rate us 5 stars, turn on subscription notifications, and share on social media. Tell your friends and spread the word.